Star Wars 7x7 episode 3442. It's finally happening! We are taking a look at the story mode for Jedi Fallen Order, going to summarize what happens in the story and expand our understanding of that dark time between the fall of the Republic and the fall of the Empire, and, oh yeah, lots more stuff. But we're going to start with the opening stuff. Punch it! Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. So maybe you're like me and you are interested in video game storytelling, but you don't play the video games, or even in my particular case, Jedi Fallen Order, I can't really play it because I get motion sick on these types of games. And so the only way that I'm going to learn about the story is either reading about it or watching the playthroughs or watching compilations of cutscenes, that sort of thing. And so now here on the podcast, one of the stories that we haven't touched is Jedi Fallen Order. And this is long overdue, right? The game came out in 2019, so it's about time that we summarized it. I think the only other video game story mode that we've talked about in the past is the Battlefront 2 story mode, and that was fantastic when we did it, and you know, hopefully this will be just as fantastic as well. Well, so far it's certainly shaping up to be as far as my enjoyment of it. And we're going to start talking about the story by talking about the opening scenes on the planet Bracca. Bracca? It's a scrapper's world, so yes, as a lot of happens with Star Wars, one particular planet is known for being one particular thing. And in this particular case, Bracca is a world where all sorts of ships and mechanized things go to die to be stripped and reused for other stuff. This is where Cal Kestis has gone into hiding. Cal Kestis is a Padawan who survived Order 66. And we find ourselves 5 years after the fall of the Republic. So we're in 14 BBY. And as happens with a lot of Star Wars stories, there's a moment where Cal has been in hiding without any issue whatsoever, but in order to save a life, one of his comrades who is working on scrap stuff and is about to fall to his doom, Cal has to use the Force in order to rescue him. Now, his coworker Prof wants to find a way to repay him somehow, and Cal's response is basically like, just keep quiet about it. That's the only payment I need. But unfortunately, word is going to get out because the Inquisitors get drawn to Bracca, knowing that there's been some sort of Force activity there, and they line up a whole bunch of scrappers and say, okay, you know, whoever is the Jedi here, you better come forward and we'll deal with you. Otherwise, we're going to kill everyone here. And right before the situation, they're on a train, on a transport. Cal dozes off after a long day of scrapping and rescuing and has a dream about his old master, Jero T'Pol. And the one message he gets from that is to trust only in the Force. And then he wakes up and that's when the transport is suddenly being stopped and people are being herded off to meet the second sister and the ninth sister. So Prof says, hey, I think somebody should come forward, and steps forward, and it seems like he's going to rat out Cal, but instead he goes on a rant about how the Empire is doing all of these people dirty, and the second sister says, yeah, you're right, and stabs him with her lightsaber, which then outrages Cal, and Cal reveals himself, starts to try to get into a lightsaber fight, which he is dispensed of very quickly, like force pushed over to where the ninth sister is, and she's like, hey, I found a Jedi, but then drops him off a cliff. And then he crashes into another transport train. Now, all of this is done also with the motive of helping you learn how to use the fight controls and whatnot. But this train sequence where Cal is having to try to survive with all these different types of Imperials coming at him is really just amazingly compelling and cinematic, especially when you're focused more on the cutscenes. Like, it is just a breakneck-paced, edge-of-your-seat experience. And he gets an unlikely bit of help from the Mantis crew, particularly from Grease and Serjunda, right? So those characters we've talked about previously on the podcast, and I think they're, you know, well enough known at this point, but they happen to show up because, as we find out later, they were intercepting Imperial transmissions and they heard that Inquisitors were going to Bracca, which meant that, oh, there must be a Jedi hanging out in Bracca, so let's see if we can get to this Jedi before the Inquisitors do. And they don't quite, but they are able to rescue Cal Kestis from this whole crazy situation, which leads to a showdown, the first of many, with the Second Sister, and Cal is not doing great again, but there's, blaster fire, and it separates the two of them, and Cal's able to jump onto the waiting landing ramp of the Mantis as it's flying alongside this barreling train thing, and the Second Sister tries to jump and also get after them, but ends up just slicing the side of the Mantis, and the Mantis is able to make good its escape. And then in the quiet intervening moments on the Mantis before they move on to the next part of the mission in the video game, we find out a couple of things. Number one, that Serjunda's goal is to rebuild the Jedi Order, and we gather that Cal Kestis is a part of her idea of, oh, here's how we could do it, but that has yet to be revealed. And then we also find out that Cal has a particular kind of force ability. He can sense echoes of objects. He can touch an object and sense its past. So this is the psychometry idea that we heard most prominently with Quinlan Vos in the past. But in the video game, they only talk about sense echoes. So far at least that term, psychometry, hasn't been used just yet. And we also find out from Cal that he believes his connection to the Force to be damaged. He says that when he tries to meditate, that he flashes back. And it sounds like what's happening here is it's basically a kind of PTSD, for all intents and purposes, that when he tries to connect with the Force, then he is flashing back to the events of Order 66, and he's just not, feeling safe with his connection with the Force. And so that, I guess, remains to be seen how he's going to develop that. But for the stuff that I've watched for the game so far, it seems like he decides, well, it's time to be comfortable once again with my connection to the Force, at least in terms of how to use it in action-oriented situations. So that's what I've got for you about the first part of Jedi Order, these introductions to the characters that we're going to be associating with throughout the course of the game, and that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And if you are interested in supporting a podcast like this that aims to cover all Star Wars storytelling across all mediums and boil it down and share it for you and talk about it, analyze it, consider it, do interviews around it, then I hope you'll consider supporting the podcast at patreon.com/SW7X7. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode, as always, and may the Force be with you wherever in the world you may be.
Star Wars 7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.